If you'd like to open your Bibles and follow along, this morning's scripture reading will be from Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 13 through 16. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. I'll be reading from the NASB. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a peck measure, but on the lampstand, and give it light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven.
Good morning, everyone. I was sitting back there and reading the scripture that we have in 1 Thessalonians, and I think we should see that as a goal. When you think about who these people were and what they had done, we know that they had suffered much, but we also know that their suffering was because they were different than the world around them. The world around them had people in it that were persecuting them because of their difference. These people had heard and obeyed the gospel, and their faithfulness was known to other people also. So there were some who were enjoying what they learned from seeing the people at Thessaloniki, and also people who were persecuting them because of whatever reason Satan put in their mind to do so. But I see Paul writing this, and I think this should be the goal for each and every one of us. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you. The sanctification that comes when we're baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, coming to him dead in our sins to be buried and to rise to walk a new life in him, to be sanctified, to become the dwelling place of the Spirit of God, sanctified entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete. That would be the enduring to the end, being faithful until death, walking a new life in Jesus, complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I look forward to that day, and I hope we all will, and that we will all be happy when that day comes, and not be running for something to hide under, because the Lord is coming again. So let's be sanctified and stay sanctified in Jesus Christ. This morning the lesson is about salt. There are so many ways we could look at this lesson. We could go into all the ideas of what salt is for, that it preserves, that it cleanses, that it heals. We could talk about the passage in Ezekiel where it talks about a baby being born and rubbed with salt or wasn't rubbed with salt. The idea of the cleansing agents of the salt, all the things that salt can do. And so this morning I want us to look again at the passage that was our scripture reading and think about just what does Jesus mean? I mean, that's where I'd like to narrow all that down to our 20 or 30 minutes today, down to what does Jesus mean when he says salt? And I think I found a pretty good example in the scriptures of a man who also used that term, and we could see exactly what he means by that, or meant by that. He says in Matthew 5, 14 through 16, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. And so, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." So I'm not going to talk much about light, but it's all a part of this, isn't it? And it's the previous verse, verse 13, that talked about salt. And I did a lesson about a year ago called Be Light, so we already did that. So let's talk about salt. Salt makes its changes by contact. If we have salt sitting on the table, then we have to actually put it on something in order to change the taste and the aroma of that food. Salted food takes on a special aroma. So not only is it changing something that we taste, but also something that we smell, but it has to be done by contact. Salt must make contact. Recently, I had a dinner, and I invited some people over, and I had some pepper and some salt on the picnic table, and I put a Tupperware container over it, and never remembered to take the Tupperware container off. And nobody even knew that that's what was under it. It was salt and pepper, until at the end, and I said, oh, I forgot to open up the container so that people could see the salt and pepper. You know, without the salt contacting the food, there was no change in flavor or aroma. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Now, there are theories about, well, in that day and age, you could mix worthless salt with plaster, and you could actually make a floor so hard with plaster that people could walk on it like concrete. And that's not what Jesus said. He didn't say it has to be mixed with plaster. He said it's no good for anything. He said it's no good for the manure pile. It's thrown out in the road. Maybe it'll kill a weed or two, and trampled under the foot by the men. Now, here's an example that I found in the scriptures where Job himself made an analogy and used salt in his analogy. And I thought, you know, this really illustrates well for us what Jesus means by salt. For Job, it was necessary that the salt contact the egg white. He felt that it was loathsome unless the salt was present. Well, I kind of agree with that, you know, that an egg white doesn't have much flavor, but we normally, when we cook it, we add lots of cool stuff to it that, you know, like chipotle sauce and salt and pepper and, you know, all kinds of good stuff. And we don't really think about, well, the egg white itself didn't really have much flavor. It's maybe, I think Job thought of egg white the way I think of tofu. And like, tofu is good for something. It is. You should paint your walls with it, you know. And that's it. That's all it's good for. Now, I used to go to a marketplace where they sold tofu, and they wanted to try and keep the flies away and stuff, so they would stick a stick of incense in the tofu. I thought, well, that's a pretty good use for tofu. It holds the incense. And I guess this is how Job felt about unsalted egg white. In Job chapter 6, verses 6 through 7, can something tasteless be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? My soul refuses to touch them. He got it real personal, didn't he? Went all the way to this, my soul refuses to touch them. They are like loathsome food to me. They are tofu. Yeah, or dofu, as the Chinese call it. But what really was he talking about when he says it's loathsome? Why was he talking about egg white that's unsalted? Basically, what he was talking about is what worthless friends he had. Here he was in terrible misery, and they're coming to him and actually making it worse. You know, they're like an unsalted egg yolk. They're of no value, and not only of no value to him, they are loathsome. I can't really say that word. Can somebody say that? Loathsome. You know? And so listen to what he says. See if you agree with me. Job 6, 14 through 18, for the despairing man, there should be kindness from his friend, so that he does not forsake the fear of the Almighty. My brothers have acted deceitfully like a wadi, like the torrents of wadis which vanish, which are turbid because of ice, and to which the snow melts. When they become waterless, they are silent. When it is hot, they vanish from their place. The paths of their course wind along. They go up into nothing and perish. And certainly we have seen that here, not so much ice, but rainfall. And we see out in the desert how suddenly the desert doesn't seem to be able to drink the water that's falling upon it, and these raging little temporary rivers go by, but they're just temporary. The rain stops and the sun comes out and they're gone. And he's feeling like his friends are kind of like that. They just kind of evaporated. Trouble came along and his friends evaporated. He says, you guys are like unsalted egg white. Job's friends could not be salt because they had no salt within themselves. That's my theory. They flooded him with words, but their salt was not salt. I did my best to make this picture be something that, can you tell what this is? This is a brick wall, and that's a Morton salt factory. And they filled that thing with salt, and the wall broke and fell on all of these brand new Acuras at the dealership beside the salt storage area. And so I'm guessing that the first thing that fell was the bricks. all over those brand new Acuras, and then the second thing was the salt that buried them. So if you don't want salt on your car, you know, don't live in Kansas and don't live in Minnesota and don't park beside a salt factory. Jesus says in Mark 9:50, salt is good, but if the salt becomes unsalty, with what will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. I don't think the Acura dealership owners were very happy about that salt. Shall we hear this? And I say shall we hear this because Jesus is making a very clear warning to all of us. Luke chapter 14, 34 through 35, therefore salt is good. But if even salt has become tasteless, with what will it be seasoned? It is useless either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So again, it only belongs in the road to trample on. Is that what God calls us to be or to do? No, he calls us to be the salt and the light, to make contact and make a change in the flavor, the savor, and the aroma of this world around us. Think before you act and before you speak. Paul writes to the Colossians in chapter 4, verses 5 through 6, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. You know, as we do our daily prayers and talk about, Father, give us our daily bread, we should also ask that, Father, give us opportunities. Opportunities to be in the right place at the right time and open our mouth and say the right thing and do the right thing and be the right thing in order for that opportunity to be used to God's glory. And that's really all, the bottom line, isn't it? That we're here for the glory of God. Yeah, we want to do like Paul said to the Thessalonians, you know, to be faithful to the end, to be sanctified, to be made complete, to be ready when the Lord comes. And part of that is serving him and being his salt and his light along the way, knowing how we should speak. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. This was what was missing in the friends of Job. Knowing we cannot always avoid troublesome people, we must also know how to address them. In Paul's letters to evangelist Timothy and Titus, he wrote this to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:1 through 5. He says, but realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. If you felt a cringe on any of those words, think about why. Are any of us falling into this category of lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding a form of godliness, although denying its power? If any of those things make you feel uneasy or cringy, think about how you might change it, amen? To be salt, to be light, the Bible is our teacher. If we want to know how to be salt, how to be light, take in the Word of God and let it make a change in us. 2 Timothy 3:13 through 15, but evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. There's your guarantee, you know? He says, you, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. We live in a world with two kinds of wisdom. The one comes from above and the one comes from below. The one from above is from God. The one from below is described by James as earthly, natural, and demonic. If we want the wisdom from above to come into us and supplant, replace, reject the wisdom of mankind and the earth and the devil, then we're going to have to take it in through our observation of what God is doing and has done and from the reading of His Word. Being salt in a world of unrighteousness requires training in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. And so as we pray and we talk about opportunities, and God, please help me to use the opportunities that come my way, and God is saying, are you equipped? And if you're equipped, I'll give you the opportunities. I think that's kind of how it works. And sometimes we find an opportunity and realize we weren't equipped, or we handled it wrong, or our speech wasn't seasoned with salt. We need to repent of that and try to do better next time. Salted food has aroma, which enhances the taste. God likes fragrant aromas. In fact, the opposite of a fragrant good aroma is an abomination, a fragrant bad odor. God doesn't like abominations, neither in the Old Testament nor in the New Testament. He wants us to be a good aroma to the world around us. God likes fragrant aromas. He calls us to be the aroma of Jesus to others. In Leviticus chapter 2, verse 13, every grain offering of yours, moreover, you shall season with salt, so that the salt of the covenant of your God shall not be lacking from your grain offering. With all your offerings, you shall offer salt. That's the way God wanted it. He wanted salt from very early on. He wanted us to give something that makes a change when it makes contact. We are used by God to offer His Word, His wisdom, and His ways to the world. James 3:13 through 16, who among you is wise and understanding, let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. Wow. Don't want that, do we? And he says, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. We don't have to look far, do we? That the world we live in is full of disorder and every evil thing. Every evil thing man can imagine. I have a hard time imagining that it was much worse, you know, in the days of Noah, when God looked and said, you know, every thought and intention of man's heart is only evil continually. Well, hopefully we outnumber the ones in Noah's day in that sense, that there were only eight that God decided to save. I hope there's a whole lot more than that today when God looks down. I hope we've changed the balance through knowing Him and serving Him and obeying Him. We're used by God to offer His Word, His wisdom, and His ways to the world. James 3:17 through 18, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy, and the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. When we find ourselves using a wisdom that we find described as earthly, natural, or demonic, we just find ourselves starting to lean that direction or step into doing one of those things that creates unrighteousness, we need to stop and start again and use God's wisdom. So we ought to consider the following question. How do we get salty? How do we stay salty? And the answer, hear and follow Jesus. You know, before He said what He said in Matthew 5:13, he said this. In Matthew 5:3 and following, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me, Jesus. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Bottom line, glorify your Father who is in heaven. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. There's no substitute for the salt of God, for the salt of Jesus, for the salt of His Spirit, for the salt of the world. There is no substitute for us. We are the ones. He hasn't entrusted that to anyone else, only to His children. Load up on the spiritual salt. Share it. 2 Corinthians 2:14. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. True disciples of Jesus will be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. True disciples of Jesus will continue to learn and become His salt and His light. Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, listen, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. There is no substitute for the Lord's gospel and way of salvation. There is no substitute for His salt. If you need to respond to this, we hope you will this morning. And if there's anything we can do for you, please let us know as we stand and as we sing.